When I look at LeBron, he's not what Michael was as a player. He's not even what Kobe Bryant was as a player. So when you talk about trying to compare Michael's instinct, his ability to take over games, his ability to want to have that last shot.
And demoralize you. And,
yes.
And scare the living hell out
yes.
of you.
LeBron doesn't have that gene.
So, Scotty.
That's not in him.
I don't want to dump on LeBron, because LeBron's amazing and great. Does he have... would he kill his children to win a game? No. Kobe and Michael would kill their kids to win a game.
Wow.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That LeBron is garbage. That was Scottie Pippen and Charles Barkley.
Michael Jordan's 56th birthday on Sunday.
Yeah. Wow, can't believe that.
Casey Johnson has a really good thing running Sunday's Chicago Tribune about 56 things about Michael Jordan on his 56th birthday.
Let's give a nice thank you to Dustin Rhodes. Fantastic work, Dustin. You're
thank
a wonderful
you,
human.
Great week.
Thanks to Ray stepping in for Kevbo. Great stuff. Chris, thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, Chris.
Sorry you had to work with those two guys. Hey! Or us. And we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing, most of all.
Thank you for listening.
It means a lot to us. And now we welcome in Dan and Connor.
Morning,
good
fellas.
Morning, guys.
So,
morning, guys.
So do we know that Scotty and Stephen A. are definitely invited to the birthday party now? Like, that's your entry, is you have to say something outlandish
yeah.
and ridiculous about
LeBron.
Me.
I don't,
like,
yeah.
here's the invite. You can
right.
come, but I need a clip of you on national television
that's the RSVP.
Saying something yeah. really great about me and or, and preferably, and tearing down LeBron James
so you
on
think,
your way through
you
the door.
You think all of this is a conspiracy from Michael Jordan?
I don't know. I read the CNN thing on James Brown's, and everything's a conspiracy to me, and I'm looking over both shoulders, and I'm walking to the train thinking I'm going
to
be whacked.
I can't wait to read that. That sounds great.
It's amazing.
One of the, most fascinating pieces of journalism in recent memory.
Wow.
The CNN James Brown three-part
You're not
part
given
piece.
To hyperbole either.
It is astonishing.
That's going to get in the way of your puzzle.
You know what? I was just thinking to myself, yeah, I can read that while I do
story.
Some laundry later.
Which puzzle?
I've got a new jigsaw puzzle I'm going to do. I like a jigsaw
puzzle. Oh, you know what? I grew up.
Jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, I haven't done one in a while.
It was a big thing in our house growing up. There's a table in our family room where, especially in the winter, my mom always would have one going. And it was just sort of there.
And
if you wanted to sit down
and,
at it, anybody, it was going. And like you'd go over and say, oh, somebody got all the straight edges on the left, or somebody got whatever
right.
it was. And you just, there's a zen to it. There's no question.
Oh,
I love
it. It just really calms me down.
Bringing things together.
Problem is, I've
People
got a
too.
Little touch of OCD. And so once I start one, I'm basically standing there for 2 days.
Do you feel sad when you finish it?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a melancholy.
It's like a good book.
Really?
It's like if you're reading a good book
what?
And you realize
yeah.
you're
no,
on the
you
last
feel a
chapter.
Sense of accomplishment.
No, I do. I do have a melancholy.
No, I get the melancholy to the book.
Oh,
but
the
a
book.
Jigsaw puzzle.
The book. You're literally like, but damn it, why can't they write a sequel to this thing?
Do you guys? Well, and then J.K. Rowling writes another one. Do you guys have the thing though with the jigsaw puzzle where at some point putting together the puzzle, there will be a lost piece? So
there's always
a
lost piece.
You end up enraged and throwing everything around looking for that stupid
yeah.
piece.
Find
and then
the
it's in the couch cushion and then you're just angry again.
No, find the piece. It's on the floor somewhere. Pick up the edge of the rug. It's there's been a vent underneath
it. I got that way doing Legos. I would just get so angry at one point doing the Legos, missing this one little piece and figuring it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
What's the accountant? Is that who you were?
Kind of.
Remember that movie? Was that movie?
Is that an Affleck movie?
Ben Affleck, where he's got some...
Anna Kendrick, I think, is in
that. Yes, and he's got some issues and he's... No, I'm not like that. Thank you, though.
I'm glad you're not like that.
I've never actually been charged with murder.
Convicted?
No, I've never. I would never kill him. That was a friend of mine said that one time. We were arguing something at dinner, and he said something along the lines of, I've never murdered anyone. Like, well, that's not really the standard.
No one asked you that. Right.
Exactly. Right. Thanks for that non-confession.
So what are you more likely to watch on Sunday, the NBA All-Star game or the Alliance of American Football game?
It's probably not going to be up to me because we're leaving town this weekend for a hockey tournament in St. Louis.
Nice.
Oh,
great
yeah,
town.
That's a good one.
You've done that one?
Done the St. Louis
There's
one,
only
yep.
one?
Well,
What's
no.
Called,
they're,
I don't know.
There's a youth hockey tournament in St. Louis is a good
city to have a youth hockey tournament.
Because there's one area that's got three rinks.
Yes.
And they're all within driving distance
of
each other.
It's like a three-rink circus.
But it's the same company. What do they call it? Like Ultimate Hockey Tournaments or something like that?
Yeah, something like that,
No matter what, it's the same medal. It's the same trophies. And believe it or not, when you go to the Dells is where they do most of them. And thank God we're not going to the Dells.
Say what you will about St. Louis, but it's a good hockey parent hangout.
I've never been to the Dells. And I grew up here. I have never been there.
I grew up going to the Dells.
He says proudly.
That's what I'm saying. No, I would be.
I've never been there.
I remember being a kid.
And my experience.
Was it the Tommy Bartlett water show or
something? Oh, yeah.
They had those ads. And I'd be like, why can't we go to that?
Yes. You didn't miss
it. No. Never went there.
The key to the being a hockey parent on the Dells trip, and really probably any of these trips, is self-medication. That everything is okay as long as there's beer available. As long as they're selling beer and wine.
It is in Wisconsin, right?
Yes. And
there's summer sausage, and there's some cheese involved.
Yep. And that redeems everything.
Fries, curds.
Although, you know, actually, the worst age is when the kids are like 9 and 10. Because that's when they have boundless energy and they can play three games that day and still want to run up and down the hallways and they will not sleep. Once they get to 14 and they're growing, they actually want to sleep. They actually get tired.
And you've self-medicated, so you're ready
for
sleep.
I'm out. But the worst age is, you know, 8, 9, 10, those baseball trips and those hockey trips, because then the kids won't sleep. Their bodies just don't ever shut down.
Running around?
Yeah.
Well, because they know they're on a road trip, too. They're away from home.
There's a pool. So, yeah, you know, that's...
The coach puts a curfew in, it's like, listen, 8 o'clock puck drop tomorrow. Everybody in your beds. You still hear this, like, in the hallways. They're all running around playing shinny hockey or whatever.
Well, and it's the pool, too, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that's the kids find the pool.
The Dells, it's a water park. There's literally a water park.
Noah's Ark has a swim-up bar at the wave pool. So, yeah, that's Wisconsin. But we would always... We'd take these road trips to Myrtle Beach. You know, we'd have to drive and all this stuff. And as long as it didn't matter if the pool was infested with moss and algae and as soon as we got is there a pool? Is there a pool? Is there a pool? And then we were up all hours of the night, me and the cousins,
with
and just there was
infection?
A pool. And yeah, oh God, it was all, we didn't care.
Well, they all got Legionnaire's disease. I mean, of
consequences.
Course.
We'd have all sorts of terrible affected diseases and you'd get to Myrtle Beach and there's more pools and then you're just running around in that.
Sounds germy.
Oh, it's bad.
This place is germy today, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of that, but Mac gave me a warning. You know, Mac was sick yesterday in here, standing right where I am standing.
Ugh.
Gave me a warning. He vomited during the
show. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. And I'm not sharing secrets out of school. He talked about it.
Well, yeah, he does that.
He gutted through the. Yeah, he tends to share a little bit. Have you noticed that?
He gutted through it. I get it.
He did. Yeah.
He
did.
Vomited all over.
He vomited during the show, but he kept on going. He did. He found a way.
Trooper.
Well, that's not good.
Was it just was it because of a really, really bad Parkins take on something?
If he's not here during transition, you know why.
We brought in old fish or old cheese. That's what he did.
We wanted to ask Sam Panayotovich what the odds were that Mac would work today after his vomiting experience.
Oh, you got to take that off the board. There's no way.
Right. But once Les comes through here, doesn't that just sort of trump everything? Doesn't that just eradicate everything somehow?
I'm not sure what Les has done in this studio, but I don't think he's ever vomited.
No, other things.
I did appreciate the warning, though, from Mac. He was looking out. He was warning me. It was last night. So I could have said no. I could have stayed away. But no.
You can't stay away.
Did you spray down? Did you get a little
Lysol? Oh, we always spray down, Connor. I don't know. I don't know what you've heard.
Like
I don't know if you've ever seen us arrive here, but Dustin comes in.
The hazmat suits come off about 6:30. Yeah.
We really do clean up the studio.
Really disinfect the studio?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because
I can't blame
you. It's hard when you don't get enough sleep. It's hard to, you guys to have, keep your immune system up and running.
Yeah, you guys are compromised every hour of the day, right?
You know what's funny? I heard Les this morning talking about, and I did not know this, and I'd pay probably at least $20. He was on the Bozo show. Have you ever heard him talk about that?
Les was on the Bozo show?
When Les was a nine-year-old, he said – He got tickets, wrote in, got tickets, went to the Bozo show.
Was there an incident? Because it would explain
a
lot.
No, he said that he didn't take part in the grand prize game, but he did take part in that relay race they used to do. I don't remember the relay race, but he said he was actually on, he was like doing a relay race on the Bozo Show. Surely someone can find that.
Someone's got to have tape.
Wouldn't there? What doesn't?
It's got to be.
Find out if some woman is a hoarder and see if she has the tape.
that would be.
Wouldn't you love to see 9-year old Les running around on the Bozo Show? That's unbelievable.
He probably looks and sounds exactly like current Les. I mean, same thing. Like, we're broken glasses. You know,
that special guy
wearing a shirt someone gave him 15 years NASA earlier. He's wearing a defunct franchise shirt.
The California Golden Seals or something, right? Yeah, God, I hated the Bozo Show. Oh,
did you really
hated Bozo?
Hated.
What did you hate most about it?
Hated it.
Cookie Wizzo?
Did you ever go on it?
No.
Never go to it?
No.
Oh, we waited 7 years for tickets.
I can't.
Did you really?
What did you not like about the Bozo Show? The fun the children had?
That is all subjective.
Bozo. I didn't like the cartoons. I didn't like, I was a Ray Rayner guy.
Yeah, I loved Ray Rayner.
I love that was and when I thought about it, it was really important. I probably would not be doing what I'm doing for a living if it weren't for Ray Rayner.
I was a Hard Rock Coco and Joe guy. You were probably Susie Snowflake.
Now, I have a real soft spot for Ray Rayner, but there's something about the Bozo Show. I found it creepy, unfunny. No, thank
really?
You. Yeah.
Not a big cookie guy either, huh?
I knew a guy at the Sun-Times who wrote for the Bozo Show.
And now
it's a true story.
I live on Bob Bell Honorary Street. Literally.
He wrote the Bozo Show. They actually have people writing it. And it was a lot of, you know, pie in the face and banana peel slippage and stuff like that. But
the classics.
They also would include, like, some inside jokes and stuff, and they would have some fun with it, the people.
Sure.
But apparently, and I don't know all the details, but somebody was in the midst of a divorce or had a very bad breakup, and they had gone – I think it was Bozo and Cookie had kind of gone missing, or a couple of the key characters had gone missing. So they called in all the writers and all the support staff, and they had them like searching around the neighborhood to try to find where these guys were at because they had gone off on a tear. The one guy –
This
know,
is like Peter O'Toole and Sir Richard Harris.
And I got to tell you something. I got to tell you, I laughed so hard as he was telling the story because, as I was saying to David, we talked about – I imagine the two, you know, the couple of the clowns, like, sitting there in full regalia.
Yeah. You know, giant shoes.
Have you seen them with giant shoes?
Right there at the Old Town Ale House, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Is that not awesome?
Well, you've heard Richard Harris's stories about the theater when he and O'Toole were in the same cast or something. I mean, they would do – in between scenes – in the middle of New York, they were leaving the theater to go across the street and drink. And then a kid would come over and it's like, we're in act 3, scene 6. You're on in a scene. Get back in here. Wait for your cue. And they would get progressively more hammered over the course of the play.
We were doing a show. I can't remember where, but it was the old Rick Talender show. And Rick comes in one day and he comes in and he's like, hey, listen, you know, we should do like, what is the Mexican holiday again? May the Force be with you.
Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. I knew it's right near there. Cinco de Mayo. Rick comes in on Cinco de Mayo and he's like, hey, you know, we should just open up the phone lines and tell stories about Mexico. And I am like, as I often did during the Rick Talender show, I was kind of like, No. Anyway, so we open up the phone lines. We're doing stories from Mexico. So some guy calls in.
So I killed this
hooker.
And
he's telling a story. He's telling a story. He's driving. He and his buddy are driving cross country in Mexico. And they decide that they need – they're out of cerveza. So they're going to stop and get some beer. And they pull into like what looks like a 7-Eleven kind of place in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, he goes into the place and the little bell rings and he's like, you know, cerveza. And the guy like points to the back and he looks and there's no lights on in the back. And it's kind of there must be a cooler back there, but he's uncertain of whether or not he should go. And he walks back into the back of the store and there is this like a human body strewn over a table. And he's like, oh, my God. And he looks and it is the actor Peter O'Toole.
They were filming.
He was just past. They were filming Viva Zapata or something. And like we looked it up, he was actually in Mexico at the time. But he claimed that the guy was just over a table in the back of this place in the middle of nowhere, completely just passed out drunk.
When you read the oral history of the Blues Brothers, Belushi did that when they were filming the Blues Brothers in like the South Suburbs. Yeah. They would go. He'd end up in someone's house on a couch. just like lying there. They had handlers, wranglers that would go find. He would go off on these jags, like these sprees of abuse, and he would go to some random home and just be there. Oh, John Belushi's here on the couch asleep.
It's unbelievable. What have you today, gentles?
Well, let's look at the list here. We got some baseball stuff to do early on. I was just tickled by something in common with some of the threads of our Cubs and Sox stories that point out something that's just so baseball in a way that that other sports aren't. Jonah Carey at 10 from CBS Sports. It always feels like summertime when we talk to him. I'm really excited for this. At 10:30, Andrew Zimmern, host of Bizarre Foods.
Oh, that guy's great.
He raised his kids.
He raised my children. He doesn't know it.
That guy will eat anything.
Apparently. He's fabulous. He's going to join us at 10:30, do the midday midway at 11. And then we figured in honor of Andrew Zimmern's appearance at noon, we are going to solicit stories of the strangest and most exotic things you've ever eaten anywhere.
Just make sure if you throw up, it's in the garbage can.
We'll aim for
it. Stay away from grasshoppers.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
See you.